Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He loves us all. And He gives His best every time He gives. Yesterday's broadcast was called The Covenant Charge. You know, the Lord is looking for people who will hear Him out, people that will follow His lead. Because when people follow His lead to the T, then God can train them. If He has a man's attention, He can train them to the point that they can be precisely what God needs for the generation. See, every generation He has to raise up new laborers. So the covenant charge, in yesterday's broadcast, we illustrated how the Lord took painstakingly countermeasures to make sure that only the people who welcome and receive the revelation He's trying to give man would receive the charge. The Lord has hidden knowledge from people who would not enter the new glories that they should have entered into. And we can't enter into them of our own accord. We have to follow Him into it. The Lord will prepare us and train us for what He wants. Now, my pastor said something years ago. He said, when they build a ship, they want and they finish with it, and it's leaving dry dock, all they want to do is get it moving. If they get it moving, they can steer it and manipulate it the way they want it to go. So God finds people that's doing something, and then He prepare them for what He really needs. Now, they're doing great works, and it don't take much to impress men. The anointing is impressive all by itself. Every time people get healed, it's a blessing and it's a miracle. It's fresh. You don't get used to it. You thank God for it. And so when people are doing what they should be doing, Jesus said that if you're bearing fruit, He'll purge you so you'll bear more fruit. So a lot of people have walked away from good opportunities not recognizing that it was a visitation. So God was looking for somebody to give this charge to in the 90s, and he's doing it now. Now He's activating people that will receive the charge. And they'll receive everything it takes to get the job done. When you're anointed, you have God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. And it's very impressive. Now, every time the Lord used me, I rejoice afresh. When I fix cars, and when I fix a car, I take the engine parts of the engine out apart. Like I recently had a broken valve spring in a Malibu, and I took the head off, and I didn't see a piston in the. The valve spring broke, the valve dropped, it disintegrated the piston, and that was nothing but the oil ring standing there with the piston pin and the rod. No piston. So I fixed it. But, you know, I'm going to get parts. I'm bringing parts back in my car, in my trunk, you know. Then I assemble this motor. Next thing you know, I'm driving the car down the freeway. No matter how many times I do that, it doesn't get old. It's amazing. I can't get used to that. To seeing a car in pieces, and next thing you know is I'm driving it down the road 70 miles an hour. Well, the anointing, the point is this. A move of God, whatever it is, when people speak by the Holy Ghost and people get healed, or people speak pure words of wisdom straight from the heart of God, you can't get used to that. But when people embrace what God is doing, and He's able to usher them into a new glory, and they willingly go. You know, when Abraham obeyed God and took his son to Mount Moriah, his only begotten son of promise, which was Isaac, he took him because he did it by revelation knowledge. That was not just an act of faith. That was revelation knowledge of faith that he acted on. And when you read the book of Joshua, the account is more vivid. Now, Isaac was 20 years old, all right? He wasn't a kid. But he had said, I will lay down my life. Well, I can't quote it. I'm not. It's been a while since I read it. But he said he would lay down his life for the things of God. I can't word it exactly like he did, but that's what he was saying. He was talking to Ishmael. And God heard him. And then when it was time, when Abraham received revelation to do this, Isaac also did what he did by revelation knowledge. He had the charge. He knew this was important. He willingly went, knowing that he was going to lay his life down. And then the angel stopped his father's hand, told him to stop while the dagger was ready to come down. And that was a ram caught in the bush. And that sealed the covenant. That's why God did all these. He worked with man every which way he could to get the covenant done. Now, in the Old Testament days, you know how God led his people? Not just with words. He also led them with drought. To get them to go where he wanted, a drought would come, and they'd go where God needed them to be. But now, we must be guided by the Holy Spirit. See, shepherds got to feed their sheep, and they got to go graze where the grass is. They don't have a choice about it. They got to go where the grass is. So when the drought comes, they got to go to Egypt. That's the place to go when there's a drought, because the Nile fed Egypt. And the Egyptians was wise enough to make sluices. So that's where they went. God works with people where they at until he can get them where they need to be. But people of this charge is different. These are people that's thoroughly guided by the Holy Ghost to do the perfect will of God. Today's broadcast, today is the last day of May. May the 31st, 2022. Yesterday was Memorial Day. That's the day I did the covenant charge. And today is May 31st, 2022. And today's broadcast, if the Lord kind of added a word yesterday, I thought it was going to be the charge. When I got ready to print it out, he called it the covenant charge. So that's how it's listed, the covenant charge. Today's broadcast is your covenant revelation. And I thank God for that. When I began the broadcast, that's what came to me. Your covenant revelation. Now, revelation knowledge is different than book knowledge. Sometimes when people preach, people receive the word and they measure it the way that they are measured. That's why Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, he said, take heed how you hear. The way you measure it, it will be measured back to you. And this is what you're going to be making your choices by. The revelation knowledge, the way you measure it, it'll be measured back to you. Let's see, that's Mark 4, 25, I think. Or 24 and 25. He said, 24. He said, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. See, if you're like the ship leaving dry dock, once you start doing something, God will start working with you. Now, when the problem was, when God was guiding people, and it was outside the realm of the known, they didn't trust God. That's why they didn't go forward. And if you don't enter a glory, you don't see the fullness of the glory without. You see partial. You see part of the glory without when you're on the outside of it. When God is leading you to do something greater, if you enter in by faith like Isaac did, if it's revelation knowledge to you and you enter in, you're going to begin to see what others can't see. So, and the Lord kept a lot of things secret, the way he worded the word of God. He don't clue us in, but now he's cluing us in. So he's about to return. So he's making things more plain. to those who are entering in. The reason for these broadcasts, if you can get past this threshold, the Lord is going, he'll pick it up from there. Now, I encourage everybody who listens to these broadcasts to continue. Because when I did it, I didn't have a coach. And it took years to understand these basic statements that I'm giving. It took me years to get to this point where I could see it. In fact, the Lord, I used to wonder, why don't people follow God? And he showed me, I think it was the one called Key Facts. And that's one of the broadcasts in the upper middle of the page, Key Facts. And the next one behind it was See-Through Glory. But he explained to me how when you enter a glory, you see more than what others see. It's not that you're better, but you entered in and they didn't. It's just like salvation. That's a glory. When you're saved, now you know the Lord. You have a reference for who he is. You know he's good. You have his peace. People that look and see people getting saved, you know, what they see is people acting morally decent. They're moral people. And what they have in common is their belief in this unseen God, and they trust that Jesus as their Savior. And they get healed sometimes, and they get blessed sometimes, and they look like they look happy. That's what they know. They don't feel what you feel. And this step goes in every direction. So let's say a man is saved. Now he's filled with the whole baptism. He's received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So his denominational brothers never experienced that before. But they see him with a bigger smile on his face. He has more confidence. The Lord helps him talk. Not just speaking in tongues, but his words carry a greater form of wisdom. And this is what they see. But they don't feel what he feels. And it goes on and on. Let's say a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then he hears Kenneth Hagin teaching faith. Well, that's what happened to me. I heard Kenneth Hagin teaching faith. I entered into that glory. And then the authority glory. And then I heard Charles Capp teaching about confessions. I entered into that glory. And every glory affected my life in greater ways and in greater measures. And this is available for everyone. When the Word of God becomes word on, if it's just word on the pages, then you're going to try to use your reasoning. Whatever you're comfortable with, that's what you're going to do. Whatever's in your heart, that's what you're going to do. But if you receive God's Word and it becomes revelation to you, guess what happened? You've entered into another glory. Every time you receive a revelation and measure it big enough to do something, you've entered into another glory. You have to measure it enough to act on it. When you act on it, it's faith in your life. And faith redefines everything. It properly defines everything. It defines it in a godly fashion. And it helps you see what's wrong with what's wrong and what's right with what's right. So you, with your authority, can drive out the darkness. And that's your responsibility. Now, it's not hard. Everything of God is easy. Jesus said, let's turn to it. Matthew 11. See, the things of God, a lot of people, they put in. They pray all night and get great results like A.A. Abrams did. Catherine Kuhlman. They gave God everything. And when you give God everything, it gets easier and easier. Now, the glories that they walked in is attainable. Anybody can do it. Anybody that wants to. You don't even have to be a preacher. If you keep drawing near to the Lord, he'll draw near to you, and you'll find yourself doing things that's just over the top good. Now, pay attention to this one. Jesus, this is, Matthew 11 is the same as Luke 10. That's the same setting. That's the same day. Now, Matthew reading it, he's revealing it the way he saw it, just like Luke revealed what he saw. So they're a little different, but they're perfect. Both of them are perfect. Verse 25 said, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Now, Luke said that Jesus rejoiced. Matthew said Jesus answered. See, sometimes people focus on different aspects of the same thing, and they wrote it the way that they received it. And that's how the word is. When you hear the word of God, you're going to portray it the way you saw it. Don't forget that. The way you measure, it'll be measured to you. Verse 26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now watch this. Then he said to his disciples, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you receive that rest, you know it. People that don't receive that rest don't understand it. They hadn't felt it yet. Okay, continue. Then Jesus said, now watch this part. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Now watch this part. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The greatest miracles ever, it'll be a light burden to you, because his yoke is easy. When you are in agreement with a God and it's revelation to you, your agreement with God is revelation to you, operating in the anointing is a cakewalk. Taking authority over Satan is a cakewalk. It's easier to do a cakewalk in the first grade. I mean, it's easier to bind Satan, no matter how big and bad he make himself seem. It's easier to bind Satan than do a first grade cakewalk. Now, in the first grade, all the students just, this is when I did the cakewalk. You walk around the chairs, and the chairs got numbers in them. And then when the music stopped, you sit down. And then if you sat on the right number, guess what? You won the cake. And then they slice the cake and give a piece to everybody. Now, isn't that easy? Rebuking Satan is even easier. Stopping Satan in his tracks is even easier. When the Lord taught me these things, he said, if anybody believes Satan is powerful, he deceived them into believing that he's powerful. And I received that word as revelation. And before he said that, my mind wasn't on board with what I learned from Kenneth Hagin. And I had to deal with the doubt of my mind. I said, Lord, what if I rebuke the devil and he don't go? And the Lord said, when you tell Satan to go, he's got to go. And he said it sternly, politely, but sternly, the first time. I said, but what if he don't go? When you tell Satan to go, he's got to go. I heard the thunder in his voice. And I did it one more time. Our mind is a strange thing. Sometimes we just don't get it. But I was trying to get it. I said, but what if he don't? When you tell Satan to go, and he shouted it to me. I was afraid to ask him anymore. But that word got down in my heart, and I never had a problem rebuking the devil. And I always found it easy. Whether it was gunfights, escalating arguments, distractions, tornadoes, all of it was easier than that cakewalk. I got a sweet gum tree in my yard, and I want to cut that tree down. I said, one day I'm just going to cut it. I love the shade because they have the best leaves for shades. I mean, only thing better is a mulberry tree. But this thing put them balls all every year. It can produce enough balls to where it takes 2 years for them balls to fall on the ground. Now, the last 2 years in a row, I don't have any balls up there now, maybe one or two. But every spring, I said, when the wind's blowing, I tell the wind to blow all those new balls out of the tree. And it blew all of them out. So I don't have none but leaves. I said, huh. Now, this was last year and the year before that, I started confessing, you know, taking authority over them balls. And the hard winds came, blew all the baby balls out of the tree. And I blew them down with my blower. And now I don't have nothing but leaves. I said, well, as long as this happens, those trees can stay. We have authority. When the things of God is revelation and you speak it, it's easy. It's a cakewalk. It is not hard. This is something that you can do. I told my wife the other day, I said, practice authority. Use authority on small things. And when the hard things come that's hard to you, you can walk in it. And you'll find out that it worked. Start with the small things. If you learn of God, it's easy. Your covenant revelation. I've been going to church all my life. Everything is based on when it's revelation knowledge to you. And you're in agreement. So it's covenant. When you're in agreement with God, that's covenant. All right. That's why it's called your covenant revelation. Everything you believe of God, let it be in agreement with it. Let it treasure the word of God. Get a hold of it. And let it be revelation. Measure it huge. Remember, the word of God has no limits. You don't have limits. Limits is of Satan's world. All limitations is satanic. You don't have limits. You have boundaries. You just don't cross the line. You don't take what don't belong to you. Those are godly limits. Those are restrictions that you set for yourself. You know, when a man get married, you reject all the other women on earth. They're rejected. You know they're rejected. You can't have them no more. You got your wife. So in some cultures, I know they marry more than once. You know that. Still do. But if you're a bishop, if you're an apostle, or a deacon, or a man of God, or a woman, you one man, one wife. But God had reasons for what he did in the Old Testament, which I'm glad I didn't have to partake. I would not want two wives. But nevertheless, restrictions. The point is, you can't have other women. And that's cool, because you're complete in Christ. You don't need anything of this world to be complete. You're complete in Jesus. And when that's a revelation to you, your life just got a whole lot easier. You don't need anything on the outside of you to make you happy. You're happy from within, and you can enjoy whatever you own. This is good to know. Now, I've been going to church all my life. Some people tithe and have great reports. They love it. They enjoy it. They thank God for that ability. They build their businesses with it. They build their lives with it. They have a revelation of tithing. And the pastor, he's preaching to the choir when he's teaching about tithing in their case, because they can't wait to tithe. They tithe out of covenant. They're in agreement with God. God is in agreement with them. And then they tithe more than enough. But some people don't have a revelation of tithing. They tithe because they're supposed to. And they don't share the same testimonies either. And sometimes they're blessed, but they don't have financial trouble. And they're in covenant, but they're not like the ones who are enthused about it. Because people measure it the way they measure it. And then you have those that are reluctant tithers. And they tithe for a while and quit, because when the pressure's on, they quit. Just like the stony ground. They lack revelation. The word of God don't have roots in their life. And to them, they get upset when the preacher preach on tithing, because it's not revelation to them. And it don't work for them. They're not in agreement with God from the heart. And that's why they can't enjoy it right. Just like everything else, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people don't allow the Holy Spirit to guide them, so they don't know him. And to them, the Holy Spirit is just the one that make you look strange shouting. And when they fit, some people authentically feel his presence and they shout and they happy, they just elated. They just, they faint, they do everything. And some people act like them. And then when things go south, they stop. When it's true worship in spirit and in truth, you can get so excited that you do silly things. You fall out. You faint. I love it. And some people, that's all they know. They're on the outside of the glory. But when you honestly love God, and sometimes you just can't get off the floor. All these things have happened to me. All of it. I've been worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Sometimes I have questions I wanted to ask the Lord. And when I'm in his presence, I can't even remember those questions. But I'm going to tell you something. When in 1990, when the Lord told me to start reading the chapters instead of scriptures, one day I got in the Lord's presence, and I said, Jesus, don't go nowhere. I knew he was there. I said, I got questions I want to ask you. I had stamina. Now, this is something that I didn't know existed. I never heard it preached like this. But when the word came to me, the best way I can liken it to, the story of the word I can liken it to, when the angel came to answer Daniel, he kept fainting. How can I talk to you? Mary said the same thing. How do I salute you? I can't compose myself. And then in Daniel's case, the angel, he kept falling out in front of the glorious angel. And then the angel that looked like a human, looked like a man, touched him and strengthened him. And then he was able to stand up and reason. Well, that's what the Word of God did to me. When I studied 15 chapters every day for 3 months, one day I was praising God and worshiping him. And I was able to ask him my questions. And he was able to answer me, and I could understand him. Now, this is the eve of the sixth day. This is Friday evening, just before Jesus come. The restoration Friday, when God made man in the first place, he was able to speak to him, and Adam was able to reason with him, Adam and Eve. Let's look at it so I don't mess up the scriptures again. This is very important to understand. In the covenant week, everything that happened in the restoration week happens in the covenant week. All right. And we talked about our covenant week and last year. I had done a broadcast with the band, last year, around November, October, November. And the Lord released me to use the notes and make a broadcast. And I called it our covenant week. That's what God named it. It's on audio page 6. So, and I was showing the band, Esquire band that we meet every once a month and have Bible class. I was showing them that everything that happened in the restoration week, God did again in the covenant week. Now, when it came to man, the Lord said, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Watch this. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So they're the them. And all of their descendants too. According to the Levite rule. Levite was in the loins of Abraham when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. We were in the loins of Adam and Eve. Every man that will ever be. God said, God blessed them, so we're the them, with them. God, that's just a revelation that came one day. I saw it. I focused on the word them and thought about it, according to the Levite rule. Okay, verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So he's talking to them. So Adam, Eve was there too. Now, the next chapter talks about how he made Eve. Okay. All right. So, on the sixth day, in the evening, God was able to talk to a man. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. All right. And Adam was able to hear what he said and understand it and respond. And this was revelation to Adam. Now, years ago, in the early years, when I started talking, dialoguing with the Lord, I said, Lord, why you didn't tell Adam to love? He said, son, all he understood was love. This was revelation to him. When the word of God is revelation to you, now God can train you and teach you. Now, in Hosea 6, when God does something, he does it well. People complicate what God has already done. But from God's, you know, God, the way God set things up, he made it easy for us. Hosea 6, verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will build us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight. Now watch verse 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord in his going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. If we follow on to know the Lord. This is also mirrored again in Hebrews 6. See, it's up to you to let the word become revelation. It's up to the person, the individual. Verse 6 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Let us go on. That's a choice that you make. Consider these things. There are no limits. As you go forward in the things of God, there are no limits, and it gets easier. I'm out of time.